Welcome back to the Golf Shop. Mark Greenhouse, Mike Fersina, and you know, we're going to go a little left coast action here. But before left coast. Yeah, that's the West Coast. But before we do, go ahead, Walker. Let's bring it in. Cuz we need a little music from Canada.
The Great White North.
The Great White North.
Joining us now from the Great White North. From Vancouver. How am I doing? Is this a hockey intro?
Yes.
Soon to be former Symetra Tour player, Jessica Wallace. Thanks for joining us on the Golf Shop. Good morning.
Good morning.
How was that? Was that awesome or what?
I almost felt like I was going into a boxing ring there for a second, but ready to go.
She's 5'4".
All right, Hoser, welcome into the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right, well, a little backstory. Jessica's one of our favorites here in Charlotte. She's played in the Symetra Classic a bunch of times. And Jessica, you've made a very, very interesting decision that we want to go Oprah with you a little bit on this. Jessica, after your most successful year on tour, your fourth year of chasing the dream in professional golf, you have decided to walk away. And actually, you could have played right in stage three. You could have been playing this weekend, and you decided not to go. You've decided to hang up your soft spikes, at least as a professional. Tell us about what went into that decision.
You know, it's not something that came out of the blue for me. It's a decision that I've thought about for a couple years, and it's not that I don't love the game. If you ask anyone out there, we all love what we do. But for me, it was always just a question of what would I like to do outside of golf? And I just felt that now was a good time for me to step back and take advantage of some other opportunities.
Well, and yeah, I mean, this is something that all athletes face at some point, is the you know, when that part of their lives, you know, needs to end and they need to move on to something else. You know, you're right in the middle of chasing that dream. And I think what happens sometimes, you look at it and you say, okay, I'm doing well. I'm doing in some ways better than I thought I would at this point. But what does it take to make this a viable long-term career? And when you look at the LPGA Tour and transitioning from the Symetra Tour to the LPGA Tour, the barriers to that level of success are pretty daunting, are they not?
Oh, for sure. I mean, obviously playing on the Symetra Tour, you develop so many skills and learn a lot of the ropes of playing professional golf, just traveling for a whole year and playing tournaments on a weekly basis, not having a team situation like you might in university. But the reality is, there's still going to be more growing pains going from the Symetra Tour to the LPGA. And just getting an LPGA card does not guarantee you any type of success after
right. That.
I mean, you can be on the LPGA and make less money than you would on the Symetra Tour. It's just one of the realities of professional golf. You can make a lot of money, but you could also lose a lot. And I think for me, when I looked at it, my games improved every year, and I felt that, yes, I could be on the LPGA and I could be a member of that tour, but I just wasn't as confident in it being a long-term, financially viable thing for me. And at some point, I said I would give myself 3 to 5 years. And, you know, it's just one of those things where I accepted where I was at, and I'm proud of what I've done, but I realized it was time.
Yeah, you know, and like you said, you get an LPGA card, they don't just stick a check in your pocket and give you the money to go travel. And Mike was releasing the schedule in our last segment for the LPGA, and I said, you know, they've become more of a world tour. They're probably more of a world tour than any other tour on the planet, because they have so many events that do chase the money and are not in the United States. So if you start going around to all these events, you spend a lot of money just getting there, and that's a lot of money to spend to not necessarily make any money. So like you say, it can get expensive.
Right, and the benefit of being on the LPGA is there's a higher likelihood of getting the sponsorship that's required to be able to fund that kind of season. But at the same time, it's still a very tough grind, and you know there's a lot of players that their rookie year they struggle just because it's a very big change from traveling maybe with the Symetra Tour playing in the U.S. to having to travel all over the world. It's still a jump.
Yeah, I mean, do you look at it and you say, okay, when we've talked to a lot of LPGA Tour players that and people making the transition, and it's like, okay, the first year is about getting through those growing pains, playing new courses, but you've got to play well enough to get into that second year. So when you start looking at, like you said, a 3 to 5 year plan, you know, you probably have to look at needing 2 years on the LPGA Tour just to gauge where you are, and even such, you know, it's only really the top 50 or 60 who are making who are like stars and making a really good living out there. The rest are in the grind and really trying to make it work week to week. Did that factor into your long range plan that you really needed 2 years on the big tour to figure it out?
It did. I think that you have to realize that there aren't that many people that are going to be immediately successful out the gates. And over the long run, like you said, if you're not top 50, top 60, you might be someone on the LPGA, but you might be just surviving on a year-to-year basis. And there's always the threat that, hey, if you have that one-off year, you're back on the Symetra Tour, and there's no guarantee that you stay up there once you're up there. And that's the kind of thing where it factored into my decision, just the amount of time and the lack of stability with that kind of lifestyle. And they were definitely two of the things I considered when I was deciding what to do.
Yeah, and you know, let's not discount the fact that you're like really awesome at golf. I mean, this is what you do for a living, and I think our listeners sometimes discount how good players on the developmental tours really are. I mean, I remember when we first took over the Symetra Classic here in Charlotte, there were members at Raintree Country Club who were like, well, you know, these girls, they're not really that good. And then they saw you guys play, and you blew their doors off when you came out for practice rounds. I mean, this is what you do for a living. This other joker in the Noon group is, you know, he's a dentist. This is your job. But speaking of jobs and your sort of analytic approach to it, you didn't go into this without a backup plan. You went to the University of Colorado, you got your degree, and what's next for you?
Well, it's funny because I'm the type of person who's always liked to have backup plans, and I actually found that I started to play my best golf when I started to seriously consider what I'd like to do outside of golf over the past couple years. So originally I was set to go to law school last year, actually, and I played so well that I decided to defer my spot. And then this year I decided, you know what, maybe I'd like to get a job prior to going to school. So for me, I'm lined up, and hopefully we'll be getting my CPA in the next couple of years. And so I'll be starting with Deloitte Canada on Monday.
Oh my gosh! So you're starting work training to become an accountant on Monday.
Yep.
Oh, so getting up early for this show was probably good training for getting a real job.
Yeah, I figured this was good practice, you know. So here I am.
Do you think the analysis that's involved in being a good golfer is actually similar to the number crunching that takes place in accounting?
I think there's a lot of similarities,
yeah.
But I also think that, you know, golf is something that a lot of different people can play. A lot of people with different approaches can play it well. The analytical approach is the approach I like to take. So I think it translates well to that kind of alternative career. But at the same time, you know, people out there, some of them are great artists. Some of them do other things. And the girls that play on the Symetra Tour and the LPGA, they have a bunch of different goals and they have a bunch of different skills. And I think you can focus on their primary goal of getting to the LPGA while also having other goals. So I don't think it takes away from their goal to be on the LPGA to want to think about doing other things.
All right, so you started at Pepperdine, transferred to Colorado. What did you study there?
Originally at Pepperdine, I was a business administration major with a French minor, and I transferred my
That's cheating. You're from Canada. That's cheating.
I decided to switch majors into finance by then.
Well, isn't having a Canadian background, isn't that cheating to have a French minor?
Hey, left coast, you know? We're not too fluent in the French.
Okay,
so.
Fair enough.
Wait, did you take golf as an elective, one credit hour elective?
You know, I did not.
Good.
But if it was offered to me, I might not have said no.
All right, what about hockey? Hockey 101?
Not at Pepperdine.
Wasn't available. Uh-huh, uh-huh. It was available.
Well, I want to look at these past 4 years, and I want to talk you through some of you. I want to hear some of your stories. I mean, you've been out there grinding, or you got this old Toyota, I believe, that somehow made it back into Canada, which I'm surprised they let it, but whatever. I took a short ride in it, and I wouldn't have let it back into Canada.
You barely let it at Raintree.
She picked me up one day. She saw me walking along the street after dropping off one of the display cars on the course, and you know, asked me if I wanted a ride, and I got in it, and I was like, this will not make it back to Canada. Might not even make it to the front door of the golf course. So when you look at all the highs and the lows and the relationships that you've built, and you played in the U.S. Open and got a lot of TV time because you were paired with that young girl who was out there for the first time as an amateur, tell me about some of the experiences you have that you will cherish, and some of the maybe the harder lessons that you learned.
Gosh, I mean, there's so many experiences that you're not going to forget because it's a very unique lifestyle. Obviously, I could talk about the results, but, you know, and the U.S. Open was probably the best week of my career just in terms of how fun it was and how cool of an experience it was. I also think getting to play in the Canadian Open in Canada multiple times was a dream come true because I love where I'm from and I love getting to represent Canada, especially on home soil. So in terms of tournaments, those are the ones that really seal the deal for me on how much fun it was to play out there. But I mean, with the Symetra Tour, you have so much more. You get to know the girls that you're playing with on a weekly basis. You get to meet so many volunteers. You get to meet so many families. And I think the relationships that you build out there as a player are the ones that blow your mind, because these are the people that help put the tournament together, and these are the ones that make the tour function on a week-to-week basis. So really, I mean, sure, there's the results, but I also think things like I had a caddy in Asheville, and he was part of the SWAT team in the Asheville area, and getting to hear about his life when I was playing a tournament was just an extra bonus. There's so many little cool things that I've gotten to hear or done because of the places I've seen.
Yeah, it's interesting, the business connections and everything that you can make out there. I will never forget, you know, they have the CVS charity thing up in Rhode Island, Mike, back when it first started, my dad club pro in Rhode Island actually got to play with it. I will never forget sitting at a table with Chip Beck, and this is just after Chip Beck had laid up at the Masters and not gone 4-2 and lost to Bernard Langer. You know what Chip Beck sat there and talked about the entire time? Not golf. He talked business. And I think it's interesting that the guys at that level are sitting there talking about business, and you know, y'all get the chance to play with business people, and it's nice to make contacts, and it's always nice to know that when you choose to go down the road of a backup plan that you have a lot of contacts and you may have the ability to utilize some of those.
Absolutely. There's so many people on the Symetra Tour that we get to play with that are corporate sponsors, that we meet, that are members, that came out to watch, and I think it's important to definitely build those relationships with those individuals, because you never know when they might come in handy. And even if they don't, they can help guide you in different directions if that's the way that you want to go. But it's, you just know they're good people and they want to support you with your dreams. So even if you were to turn away from golf, they'll happily help you do something else if that's what you wanted to do.
Well, we're talking to Jessica Wallace, who is making a transition into a new life in accounting with Deloitte on Monday. And just one more thing before you go. Just curious, what will you miss most about the lifestyle?
Gosh, I think of the lifestyle itself, the freedom.
Yeah.
You know, you're your own boss out there. You decide your practice hours. You decide your schedule on a week-to-week basis. It's not the kind of job where, you know, you're going to be, oh, I have to do this. I have to be here at a certain time. You always had the freedom to plan your day according to how you felt. And I think that'll be the biggest adjustment for me because we got spoiled in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's just one of those perks from playing professional golf that you're going to remember.
Well, Jessica, thanks for hopping on with us. Good luck as you go through in your next career, phase two. We'll call it like Tigers phase two. But good luck to you, and keep in touch with Mike so we can keep track of you.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure getting to speak with you guys, and it's been I've always loved playing in the Raintree event that we've had on the Symetra Tour, so it's been a pleasure getting to know you.
All right. Thanks a lot.